Welcome to Culinary Convo. I am your host, Devin Ream. The coffee is poured and your spot at the table is open. I've got my mise en place, and if your mind is open, let us begin. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cookbook Corner. We are here with Anna today. How are you doing, Anna?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I tell you what, I just got done not too long ago, earlier today. I went through the whole thing. There's my cat. He's running. He's I got to do the whole thing too. But no, I just got done reading Budmo, right? It's got to be emphasis. It's got to have that. It's the cheers. It's the momentum. It's got everything. And it is going over Ukrainian cuisine, especially all the dishes, things that you've made for pop-ups and things that you've grown up with. One, how does it feel to get a cookbook done? How does that feel?
It feels amazing. Feels surreal still. And I feel like until September 27th, when everybody will get the book, it will be still in my head. And then when I see people holding the book, I will be, yes, I made it.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I did photography at University of Oregon. I was a journalism student, and one of my pictures made a cover, right? And so I agree with you. When you see somebody holding it and you're like, I made that. That's just the best feeling. That's
the best feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be great. I tell you, I was reading through, and the main thing that I've got to just mainly commend you on is really nothing too, I would say, specialty, right? So things that you're kind of looking for that it's a heavy rye, that's not hard to find out here, especially where you're at and, Bay Area, right? So it's one of those things you can find those. The pickling of different things that got massively popular not too long ago. And then with the pandemic, it's only grown. So it's I feel like it is beyond just greatly approachable. This may sound a little weird, but I'm telling you, it's a high compliment. I cannot wait to show it to my mom. A lot of these recipes are my mom through and through. We grew up in the Midwest, right? So a lot of just your comfort food dishes, but things that very minimal, looks non-assuming, and then it sets it off, right? So your beet and horseradish hot sauce. I'm ready. I'm ready to dive in. Yeah.
I'm so happy. That was my idea, to make it accessible for everyone. So I know we're very spoiled here in the Bay Area and we have everything, but it's not everywhere like that. And I wanted to make sure that people can enjoy this book, and doesn't matter where they are, they can find the ingredient, they can prep everything, and it will be very enjoyable. So yeah, I didn't want to go overly complicated with the book.
Totally. Yeah. And it means that it's just, like I said, if you are a cook, or even if you're a beginner, it just makes it to where it's it is not only this is that culinary field of, the whole Eastern European Ukraine, that whole thing, but it gives it an identity, but yet it makes it relatable. Right to everybody.
I'm so happy to hear that, because I want as many people as I can convince to try Ukrainian food. Do it. I'm converting people into Ukrainian cuisine.
Yeah. And see, you, and that's the thing. Reading about your pop-ups, you got to tell me who gave you the idea initially? Was it just yourself? You noticed I got to start doing this so that people are understanding how great these things are? Or was it you made something for a friend and they were like, Anna, what are you doing here? You got to do this, you know?
Well, a little bit of both. So I cooked for many and many of our friends. So we always had someone at our place eating, because my husband likes to host And he always invited his coworkers, and we invited our friends, and we cooked for them. So they fell in love with Ukrainian cuisine. They said, like, oh my God, we need these recipes. And I started writing recipes and posting them online, kind of do a little blog thing. And I moved into food photography and started working with chefs and restaurants and a lot of different startups. And one of those startups actually was a platform for chefs to host their pop-up dinners. So the universe presented the opportunity. Yeah. So I grabbed that opportunity and I said, okay, I want to host. Can I? And they said, yeah, sure. Like, you're already working for us. So, like, do a dinner. And it was so nice. And I had a bunch of fun and people loved it. And from there, we hosted countless numbers of pop-ups and got a lot of traction, got a cookbook offer just because people loved the food so much. It convinced the editor that we'll have some success with this book.
Yeah, definitely. And it's one of those things, like, I think that especially with folks trying to get a lot more adventurous, just in terms of trying to step outside the usual fare that we have, at least in the US, right? It kind of institutionalizes itself after a certain amount of time. And so you're just wanting that thing that's like, I want something that is completely different, but feels like home. It feels like I can share it with others. And that was the thing throughout the book that, you know, like I mentioned, being from the Midwest and those kinds of things, I think that's what makes it very relatable is basically everything that I'm reading through, it's sharing things across the table with family, with friends, and making sure that they can, you know, add things not only to the main dishes, but that you make it enough for everybody to share and enjoy. And I know COVID, we were supposed to all separate, right? That was like a big thing. And so I think coming back, everybody doing this and sharing the food together. Yeah. It's just, I think that's what a lot of people are like, oh, it's really heartwarming. Sure. I guess. I also think that it just sounds like an amazingly good time. I think that's the big thing is, you know, sitting around talking to everybody about what's going on, the craziness of today, and just having a good time with everybody. And
absolutely,
definitely, you cook stuff out of this book and you're going to be sitting across the table. And I can't imagine any of these things not producing a great time. That is for sure. Especially so with the drinks involved.
Oh my God. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that was my idea because I learned to cook from my mom and grandma before I went to cooking school. And Ukrainian food is not about fancy techniques or expensive ingredients. It's about that feeling of being with your family and cooking with your family and later getting everyone around the table and enjoying and drinking and saying budmo, which is cheers, and just like having good time and enjoying your life. So this is what I want to tell through my book. And I hope that everybody else will get the same feeling that you got.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard to not to. That's what I would say. Because like I said, I like looking through it, especially even the things that like me being very foodie, chef, cooking minded, some of the things that I was like super interested. So the horseradish vodka, right? Love horseradish. Love horseradish mayo, the spiciness, the zest of it. Totally makes sense that, like, what is it, half or three quarters of wasabi is now horseradish or what have you. Like, it basically is something that the second it hits your palate, you're just like, yes. Like, it aerates everything. And so, explain to me, that vodka, like, so from my understanding, it is somewhat traditional, right?
Oh, it is very traditional.
Very traditional.
And so, we have a bunch of different infusions. And of course, it's all vodka infusions, but horseradish has a very special place because it's very pungent, it's warming, it has this instant zing, and you, it's like a shot of coffee when you're like very sleepy and you wake up. This is the thing. Like, it wakes you up, it warms you up. And in Ukraine, everybody uses this, if they're getting sick or like feeling under the weather, they have this as an excuse to have a beautiful shot of horseradish vodka, or maybe two, and like, oh my god, I'm curing myself because this is so healthy. Because horseradish like opens the sinuses, and like you instantly feel better. Okay, you're drinking vodka, of course you feel better.
You know,
so it's very traditional.
Yeah, in the winter, you got a little bit of the bout of the sniffles, right? You're trying to warm up, and then it's just like, oh wow. I tell you what, like miracle cures, right?
Oh, that's absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and that was the other thing is like I tried as hard as I could whenever I was looking, especially, you know, your beginner appetizer type, you know, dishes. What I was actually like really happy with was that a lot of them are, they have a similar ingredient, but you add something different. And especially with like the potatoes and then the acidity with some of the pickling, it isn't too overpowering. It's not something that's just going to like totally draw out somebody and think like, oh, it's going to be this weird pickled whatever. Because some people, they experiment with it, they have a bad time, and it's like, come on, like you got to get over that. You got to get over the fears. And there's nothing that's like outside of the bounds with that. The cabbage salad that is brined, my mom used to make something like that quite a bit. Another reason I'm like excited to share the book with her. There are so many things in there that the dark cherry Veroniki, right?
Veroniki.
Yeah, Veroniki. Yeah. Oh, that was something that like I remember my mom and grandma, they made, it was something similar to that.
Wow.
It was I think cherry pie filling. So not dark cherry, but like a pie filling. And yeah, they had it, and I don't want to say like par baked it. They basically let it rise, and then they tried to let it like basically saute and then boil. They added water, put the lid on top, and it was like this miniature dessert that we had.
And wonderful. I'm
like, yeah, and I remember that as a kid, and so I'm like reading that recipe, and I'm like, is that what it was? And they just didn't know how to pronounce it or something? Like, are you kidding me? Like, how did I? Because it was minimal. I had it like two times in my whole life. And now I'm reading that and I'm just like, yeah, okay, like, great. Now I'm having miniature ratatouille moments. I'm having all those things going on. Like, you got to be kidding me. But no, they looked amazing. Like,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's great. Was there any specific recipe in the book that basically as you were making it, you knew like, yeah, this is the one that I kind of like, I remember quite a few cherishing moments. I know probably all of them do, right?
But, well, yes, but one in particular, my grandma's roasted duck. This is the one, because we had this dish at every family celebration, no matter the occasion. When family gets together, my grandma roasts her duck. And it's just so wonderful. I learned from the early age, I learned how to appreciate different types of meat. And the duck, like, I know a lot of people think it's like gamey and it's not their favorite. But for me, definitely duck is the most favorite dish. And especially, I have so many wonderful memories with all of our family gatherings and family feasts. And I remember eating that duck, and we usually eat it with apples, roasted apples.
Yeah.
And they roast together, and it's so wonderful, very comforting. Mm. And to this day, this is my number one dish in the whole world.
Yeah. Yeah. You sold me on it. Yeah, totally. That's the thing. Growing up where I did a lot of duck hunters in the Midwest, I grew up in Southwest Missouri. So it's like one of those things where, it's one of those things where a lot of hunters, for whatever odd reason, they're like, yeah, I don't eat duck, but I hunt them quite a bit. Ooh. And it always seems like the answer, honestly, is like, I think you've just been cooking it wrong. Like, that's what I always think, is like, how could you dislike duck once you've had it in just like the best way? come on. And so it's like, you know, and so, yeah, there's a reason why a lot of different cuisines, they incorporate duck and duck fat roasted potatoes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
This is just amazing. This is one of those perfect flavor combinations everyone needs to try. And it's just like so perfect. Like you cannot like add anything else to make it better. Just a little bit of salt and maybe some herbs and it's already perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the thing. I know a lot of folks, they associate a lot of the Eastern Bloc type of like foods with potatoes. I know that purely because of vodka. They know it's made of that and they just associate it. But I'm not kidding. When I saw the hand cut noodles with potatoes in the chicken noodle soup, I'm not kidding. I have not seen that before. Never have seen that before. Seems like a very simple addition. Like, what have I been not paying attention to? And I cannot wait to pull that out. My wife loves potatoes. She thinks,
oh, nice.
Yeah. If I honestly had to think about it, we at least have some form of potatoes, what have you, at least twice a week, at least.
Oh, same.
Of some kind.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's one of those things, like it absorbs any flavors you add to it. It can be salty. It can take away salt. It can help with the acidity. It can balance things. It's just, it is a great vegetable. My dad would say the perfect vegetable is green beans. I think he's out of his mind. It's potatoes. It's gotta be.
Yes.
Of course,
potatoes.
It's a tuber, right? It's a tuber. I don't know. I'm not a botanist. I just know potatoes are amazing. They deserve to be in everything. And when I saw it in chicken noodles, I just was like, yeah, this is coming out at some point.
Oh, okay, my puppy is bugging me.
Yeah, there's the puppy. Yes. I tell you. How old's the puppy?
He's like about 3 months.
Three months?
Okay.
That's baby baby. Yeah, yeah. Oh, look at the baby. Oh, my gosh.
Mars.
Look at those beautiful eyes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I tell you, if you're a podcast listener, you're missing out. That is a cute puppy. Oh my gosh. Do you have a name?
I will hold
name him. For the puppy.
His name is Mars.
Mars. Oh man. So is it after the planet or is it after something different?
Something different. So in Ukraine, you know, we're fighting right now, and our favorite weapon is HIMARS, which we got from the United States, and we decided to call our puppy HIMARS, and Mars is short for HIMARS.
Yeah, there we go. That is great. Oh my gosh.
And we do love astronomy, and Mars is, yes, it's one of our favorite planets, so we also kept that in mind, but the idea did not come from that.
It's just, it makes it relatable to the others, and then you get to sit back and be like, I know what this is for.
Wanted to call I thought we might get a girl and it will be Luna. So I wanted to keep that thing.
Right. Yeah. There you go. That's a good reason. And it's a great name, especially what do they tell you? Two syllable, right? For a dog. They say, yeah, two syllable. So Mars, that works. That's going to be perfect. Ugh. And they're, I bet you anything. So I know you mentioned the breed earlier. Are they like fluffy? They shed? They do that whole thing?
They shed.
They shed.
It's,
okay.
Yeah. So see? It's a mini husky, basically.
Right.
It's like a tiny husky. So like it has the same amount of energy, but less destructive. A little less.
Hey, that's great.
It's smaller.
Yeah, that's great. That's like perfect. Yeah. Plus, easier to walk. I don't know how many times I've seen somebody, either a Malamute or a Husky, and they're walking them. And I mean, it's like there is a reason they pull sleds. Like they.
Absolutely. Yes.
They get pretty strong. Yeah. But no, that is great. I tell you. Yeah. But no, very cute puppy. And that's the other thing. The you know, conflict going on with Ukraine, Russia, that whole thing. What has been your experience so far? I know I looked at your Instagram, talked about, you know, how it's been, you know, kind of tough for especially watching some of the things coming out of there. But what has been your experience?
Oh my God. This half a year has been, it was a lot. My family is still there in Ukraine And we had to move everyone from our hometown because no, it's under Russian occupation right now. So my whole family had to leave, and they're now in Odessa, and they are safe. And that makes me very happy that everyone is alive and safe.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's very tough because nobody can go back home, and everybody is so devastated, and any day can bring more destruction, and it's just hard. But it makes me so proud of our people in Ukraine. They're fighting. They're still very much uplifted, and they believe in their victory. I believe in our victory as well. And today is actually our Independence Day. So it's a very big holiday.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And after this podcast, we will have a glass of champagne with my husband. We want to drink for our people who are fighting for Ukraine. We want to drink for our victory and say Budimo and cheers.
There you
and
go.
Just click our glasses and hopefully we'll see our victory very soon.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. I watching the things, especially in the beginning as everything was kind of coming out, I you know, being basically a journalist major and going through journalism, there's like this streak that, especially at least in American journalism, there's like a streak that kind of goes through you where the terminology of like you prepare, you hope for the best, prepare for the worst, right? That kind of happens.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie, when Zelensky basically was like, I'm not running, we're going to do something about it. This is what's going to happen. And you saw kind of those building blocks of coming. All I could think was like, yeah, that's what you do for your country. Like whether you agree with the politics of him or another party or whatever it may be, it just seems like the second that all of that started to come down, it was like, at least as an American, you look at it from where we're sitting and we just are like, yeah, no, like we know who we want to come out on this, and it's got to be the Ukraine. They're fighting for their freedom, their independence. If any country understands that, as good as it can be, it should be us, right? Like we try to tout it. A lot of people disagree on it, and definitely it's like one of those things where whenever I see that kind of thing, the cuisine as well, it builds into that. It's like you keep those traditions, you keep those things. And so I think that in my mind, that's why that kind of negative streak of like, oh, you hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. The second Zelensky started doing that, and then I started thinking about the cuisine of Ukraine, it's like, yeah, it's too identifiable. It has an identity. It's not going to just collapse. It's got this fortified structure behind it that, yeah, that everybody tries to look for in the countries that they want to travel to or want to go to. And I noticed Ukraine, my wife showed me, it was a chart showing tourism essentially, right? Through the years of, I think it was 1993 to present. And up until, definitely before the pandemic, so up till 2019, Ukraine was in the top 10 of like tourist spots in the world. And
so, was my idea for the book, to promote our country and show like, okay, go there, try this amazing food. We'll love our guests, and we will treat you like a royalty. So please come, join, explore. It will be so good. So that was my key message before. And I finished the book before the war started. And then I decided, okay, I need to change the messaging a little bit. And I want to show, like, this is what we are fighting for. This is our culture. This is our cuisine. This is our country. And you, please support us. Please help us. Because if we will not win, this all will be lost, because Russia will erase our culinary identity, our national identity, our whole country. And there will be no Ukraine. know history of Ukraine. They will erase our history. They're already doing that. So we're just fighting because we know we have so much to lose.
Totally. And that's I think that's the main thing that like that unstated, you don't know what word to pinpoint in English, right? It's that like deep soul, I think, of the country of Ukraine. It's there. And in the cookbook, definitely I saw that throughout. Like you basically the way that you talk about the Ukraine, it is probably the exact way that I would talk about anything in relation to where I live currently, which is Oregon. And then definitely growing up in Missouri, which I've said quite a few times, I don't think I would try to go back and live in Missouri, but it doesn't mean that I dislike it. Like, it means that it's just I showed up to Oregon and I love it here. And when you were describing just basically their resources in Ukraine, no wonder. Like Russia has had an issue for this many years. It does. It just sounds like the land of plenty. It has these rich soil to have so many things. For us, I think a lot of people would say that's like in Oregon, our Willamette Valley. And then in California, like Napa Valley, anywhere near there. I mean, if anybody said, yeah, no, guess what? Canada wants to take over Willamette and Napa Valley. I think a lot of Americans would be like, that's like the epicenter of what we have here. But yet, Ukraine even has the added thing of being the breadbasket, like our entire Midwest. And I think a lot of folks are seeing how that's playing out right now, right?
Oh, this is devastating. They are burning our fields. They are burning our crops. They are stealing our wheat. This is horrible. They're stealing tons and tons of grains, and they are trying to sell it as Russian harvest, which is horrible, and it's not true. And it's another twisted, horrible way they can torment us, and it's just a food terrorism, and it's despicable.
It's like you were saying, it's just atrocious. It's one of those things where the sooner the better in terms of independence and victory for the Ukraine. It's,
Absolutely, because we love our people. Our government actually appreciate everyone, and they don't want lose people. It's not Russia. They're like, okay, we have some meat, go fight, and they don't count their losses. And I know that in our country, every lost life is a tragedy, and the sooner it will end, the less people will die, and this is the most important thing right now.
I was talking to a good buddy of my podcast. He goes by 34. He has a podcast called 34 Questions. And I was telling him that, like, I think one of the big things right now, whether I really do think it doesn't matter where you live, if you're in Europe, if you're in the Ukraine, if you're Southeast Asia, you're in the US, basically everybody looking around and talking to each other and honestly asking, what do you need to feel just on an even keel better, right? So like there's single moms out there that it's like childcare is so expensive. Like if I could just get an easier price on that or gasoline prices and that going to a normal thing, you know, the war in Ukraine, everything going on with that, it's like what can we do to help with that? I know for me anyways, World Central Kitchen, they have done a lot of work out there,
I
right?
love them. I raise money for them every month. It's just one of the best charities. I'm like, I promote them. I love them. I want to be their friend forever.
I feel very much the same way. They had a, what was
Absolutely.
it? I had donated like $50 or something at one point, and then I got an email that was like, oh, if you know, do $20 or $50 or whatever, we'll put you in an entry to get, you know, whatever. And I was like, man, you don't even have to sell me on that. Like, click, 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 done. Like, yes. Like, I did it before the email. I'll do it again. Like, why not? They do amazing work. They just feed
Absolutely agree.
anyone who shows up, and they truly do put just action That's it.
Yes.
Whether it's
And they showed
or not.
up in Ukraine, I think, the next day. They were feeding people on Polish border, and then they moved to Ukraine, and they moved to very dangerous places, actually. And I know that they fed people I personally know, and it was so it was touching, but a little bit heartbreaking, because I know those people are successful, and before war they could feed themselves, and now they need to go and get food somewhere else, and it's so devastating.
Yeah, so it's beyond just the difficult situation, right? Especially, you know, being as close ties as you are to it. I definitely hope your parents and everybody else there can get back to a normalcy, you know, soon. It's going to be a while, but it'll,
They're doing their best, and little by little people adapt to the situation, but you cannot go fully back to normal if you cannot go back to your own house.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's the thing, that whether it is, you know, whether it's food, whether it's war, whether it's, you know, you just go on a vacation of trip, there's always that longing for home, you know, just home. That's what you want to be at. And that was the thing that, like I said, it definitely, like I said, going through the book, the pride in the Ukraine and everything that they do amazingly well, it, like I said, it shines through. It's really great. And so,
Thank you. Yeah,
definitely doing it even before any of this happened. And you're like, just travel to the Ukraine, go there. That way we get more restaurants, more things. I know this may not be in the cookbook, what have you, but Ukrainian, I'm a kind of a snack head and a hot sauce guy. What Ukrainian snack? And it could be in the cookbook, I don't mind. But what would you say is a Ukrainian snack that's like identifiable, that you're like, if you saw it in a 7-Eleven, you'd be like, ah! Like you would be
too
excited. Well,
it's not a snack, but sala is something I associate with Ukraine. Sala is cured lardo, and it's so good, and you just slice it very thinly and put it on a slice of rye bread, like very, very dark rye bread, like dense rye bread. And then you put a little bit of that horseradish peat sauce, and this is Ukraine to me. It tastes like home, it tastes like my country, and I know it might be corny, but this is true. We love salo in Ukraine. It's like nobody can deny that. So I would see that anywhere. It's not a snack, but it's a little bite, I would say that. And
I heard it's enjoyed all times a day, right? Like whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, like you can have it as
absolutely for breakfast. You would fry it with eggs and just serve with rye bread. For dinner or lunch, you would just have it as a bite, as an appetizer, or as an accompaniment for your borscht or any soup you have. Or if you want to have a glass of vodka or a shot of vodka, that's a perfect zakuska. Yeah. And zakuska is appetizers. It means something to chase. Like you drink something and you chase it with a little nice bite.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. It's basically pork belly. And it's light brined, isn't it? Like
it's not a pork belly. It's pork back fat.
Back fat. Okay.
It's much more silkier. Pork belly is a little tougher, and we love our pork belly, but salted pork belly has more meat, and it's slightly different texture. And I think pork back, it has like more luxurious fat. It's and especially when you freeze it, you can slice it as thinly as a hair, and it's so delicious, and it just like melts in your mouth, and you don't sometimes some people brine it in it okay not some people there are a lot of recipes and some people prefer to brine them in salted marinade. Some people, like my mom, likes it slightly boiled and then cool down in that spicy broth with a bunch of different herbs and spices and peppers. And some people are just rubbing them with salt and a little bit of bay leaf and leave them to cure for a week. And
Yeah.
here we have it. It, like, you can go as simple or as complicated as you want.
Yeah. See, I tell you that to me, the eating that at most meals, period, that is a very uncomplicated thing to make. Like, we need to enjoy things more. This is what I honestly, I is the Ukraine similar to Europe in the stance of essentially later mornings than the US?
Later mornings.
Basically, like 8, 9 to 10. That's when it's like, okay, fine, we might go to work.
It's
We'll go. No,
no, it's
no.
not like that. It depends. I think it depends. And for me, I am an early bird. Like, I mean, early, like 4:35 a.m. So for me, and my whole family is like that. And I know some families are different, but I think it starts like with the millennials and this work from home pandemic, post-pandemic stuff. We tend to start our mornings later, but it was not like that. I think because Ukraine, and I grew up among farmers, so everyone like 5 a.m. we're going for to start our day, and we need to do a lot. So no, in our region, in southern part of Ukraine, everyone is like waking up super early and get their work done before 4 p.m. and then go for a nice dinner and spend time with their families. Definitely not like in Italy, because it's like very much relaxed and laid back. No, it's not Ukraine.
Well, then they're like us, 'cause that's the thing is I wish I could enjoy my breakfast mornings, like, I don't know, more leisurely, I guess, in terms of timing. That's what I but at the same time, I don't know anything else, right? Like, I'm like you. I'm a 5 a.m. weekends. I might push it to 6:30. I don't know. But it's like, yeah, I wake up, I feed my cats. I'm like, okay, let's do this and this, and I gotta make this. So it's like one of those things where I don't know, there's something that appeals to me about just having really good food and being able to just chillax with people early in the morning, especially if it's something like that. And then on top of that, not to be outdone by anybody in the region, the sear, right?
Oh,
Oh my gosh, that sear herb blend that you were talking about that your mom makes. Please explain that for my lovely podcast public, because you're going to be able to write poetic about this way better than I could. All I know is I got to make an abundance of this stuff. It looks amazing.
Oh, thank you. It is something we eat quite often in Ukraine. It's not a Ukrainian thing, it's Eastern European sear. But the fun fact, in Ukraine, all types of cheese, no matter the type or the country, we call all cheese sir, because that literally translates as sir. But also the most famous, most important type of the cheese we make in Ukraine, we call sir as well. Like, come on, guys, we could come up with a nicer name. So it's basically a very fresh, okay, my puppy is
Oh yeah.
gone, and now I feel he's shedding so much. I need
You feel the little hairs as they go across.
everywhere. Okay, I wish you could see it. I'm like surrounded. Okay, back to sir. So this is the sir you will. It's freshly made. It's very young, tangy, creamy, and it's basically can go either way, sweet or savory. So it's neutral in flavor, and you can use it in savory stuff and sweet stuff. And it's wonderful, and you can buy it at the farmer's market, and every farmer would have a slightly different taste, and the taste, of course, depends on the type of milk. Not even the type of milk, but
The
actually the
animal,
type of
right?
farmer and how they take care of their animal. And if the milk is good, the cheese will be amazing. And it can be slightly more fattier, slightly less fattier. But other than that, it's a wonderful cheese to have. And you can make super nice desserts. And amazing savory stuffings for dumplings or
Yeah.
whatever you want. Basically, it's so versatile. And I thought, okay, you can get it in San Francisco. You can go to an Eastern European market and you can get it, no problem. But how about people who live in different areas? And I decided, okay, maybe I should add this recipe because it's very simple to make. It's maybe 20 to 20, not even 20, maybe 15 minutes of active time you need to like
Right.
watch it. But other than that, it just like ferments on itself. It just like does its own thing, and then you
Yeah.
cook it a little bit, it separates, and you just drain it and leave it and forget it, and then come
Yeah.
back and you have this wonderful, amazing homemade cheese, and you don't need anything other than something sour to use to start the process and get this sour milk. And
Yeah.
yeah, it's just so good.
Yeah, I like you were saying, the main thing that I'm getting from especially trying to learn about a lot of the world's cuisines, it is that America needs to jump on more of a goat cheese type of level in terms of tangy sourness, what have you. Feta. You have down in Mexico, there is the cotija cheese that can be tangy or it can be Parmesan-y, right? So nutty in flavor and it changes. And then I was reading about this here and I'm just like, yes, like I've got to have some of that. And then I saw your Ukrainian cheesecake in there and with the apricot, like perfectly put on there. I can't imagine being pre all this war stuff and you're in the Ukraine, you've had an amazing dinner of everything, and then that arrives. Like, ugh, man.
It's one of my favorite desserts. It's not too sweet. It's very little anything else than cheese. It's just
Yeah.
a few tablespoons of semolina and some eggs. So it's not overly sweet. It's healthy. It has some fresh fruits, and it's just
Yeah.
like pure summer to me. And you can make them with any fruit you want, or even without any fruits. So it
Right.
depends. So with the season, the toppings change, and I
Oh,
love
man.
that. So it's versatile. You just need to have this cheese, make it, please. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm
Do it, people. Do it.
cheering for the seer. Yes, do it.
Yes. Because, like you were saying, cheeses like that, they've got to be more prominent. They have to. Because I think what people are trying to look for is more variety. That's got to come around. And it's one of those things where, like, the Georgian bread with the egg in the middle, one,
Kachapuri.
yeah, kachapuri. Oh my gosh. That is one thing that I don't care if you like eggs or you don't. I don't care if you think bread is the best thing that ever came in carb form. I don't care if you think cheese is a salty mess or you think it is God's gift to earth. Khachapuri, every time anybody sees an image of that, it's immediate like that is going to be amazing. That is going to be
Yes.
super good. And so I'm guessing
It
when you were doing the pop-ups and making those incredible smash hit, I'm guessing everyone decided like you're the Khachapuri lady now. Like they've got to go to you, right? Yeah.
Yep,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Oh, man.
Oh my
I
God.
tell you.
Yes, Khachapuri is something I like so much. It's not Ukrainian, but in Ukraine, at some
Yeah.
point, we had this raise of Georgian restaurants, and we definitely had more Georgian restaurants than
Yeah.
Ukrainian restaurants. And
Yeah.
we love Khachapuri in Ukraine. And then I came here and I met a couple of amazing Georgian home cooks, and they taught me how to make those Khachapuri Georgian way. And then I found the cheese blend, which tastes the most authentic. But I decided, okay, this is hard for people. It's like three types of cheese. You need to go to that store and that store and that specialty store, and nobody will
Yeah.
do that. And I thought that I need to come up with the simpler formula for the cheese filling. And I found it, just low moisture mozzarella, grated, mixed with ricotta, which gives the creaminess, and it's so good. And then you finish it with the egg yolk and the slab of butter, and just heaven.
Yes. Low moisture mozzarella and ricotta. Yeah, I know. I literally had a Midwestern delicacy for my dinner tonight. I had chili mac. Have you ever had chili mac?
No.
No. Oh my gosh. See, I'm going to teach you something. So it's spaghetti noodles. Okay. Uh-huh. Get canned chili, or if you have leftover chili, right? And I'm talking like, not, I don't want to say Texas chili because they say no beans. They're out of their minds. Yeah, Texas chili. If you put beans in their chili, they get angry about it. I don't know why.
Well, no, chili needs beans.
It's got to have beans. If it's just meat and sauce, that's like, that's basically
meat sauce.
Right. Yeah, that's basically meat sauce. It's basic. What is that? It's like a puree of, what do they call that? Like chicken liver mousse. It's like that. Oh. It's just like a spread. Like, what are you doing? This isn't even a good hearty meal now. You got to have beans, maybe some tomatoes, right? Especially if you can get pickled tomatoes. Oh my gosh. That adds the acidity you're looking for. But anyway.
Oh my God, I'm drooling.
I know. Yeah. So anyway, you can use canned chili because it's meant to be like a quick, like home, like I'm going to make some spaghetti. Everything else is in a can. And then you just put cheese on it. Some raw onion on there, maybe some cilantro if you're trying to make it Tex-Mexy a little bit, avocado if you can get it, throw it on there. And I ain't kidding. You're going to be like, man, those Italians, why aren't they doing chili on it? I'm telling you, it's an interesting little combo. I'll admit that one of the key things that I try to do anyways, they call it a chili sauce. It's Heinz chili sauce. And it's like a mixture of ketchup and barbecue sauce. So it's sweet, but it's kind of smoky. It's got, you know, it's not like ketchup. It's different. And so if you get just a small bottle of that, you put like a quarter of the bottle in and two cans of chili, you're done. You got your sauce, throw cheese, onion, whatever on there, chili mac. But that's, like I said, that's Midwestern. Who cares about that? We all know about that in the U.S. anyways. We love it. We're fine.
No, I didn't know. I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah. But no, the main thing is the low-moisture mozzarella and ricotta. That is at every grocery store I can think of. That's like easy peasy, lemon squeezy. And then your diagram showing how you fold it, knead it, and do all that. For somebody like me who's not the baker, that helps immensely. I'm not kidding.
Thank you.
Yeah, because like my wife is the baker. I'm the cook. So I'm going to be probably making the cheese, you know, inside. Then I'm going to be having whatever butter. I'm going to get my egg. She will be like, just give me the butter, the cheese, and just the bread. I will make your bread. It's like, okay, fine. And so I will run with that. But no, you had everything down, the folds, everything, whether it was for the dumplings, whether it was for the desserts, everything in there. Yeah, it was great.
Thank you, thank you. Yes, so I learned that something that is very normal to me is not for other people, and I need to explain more. And I feel like we did a good job with this book, and my copy editor, she helped me a lot with that, because like, okay, you need to make sure you explain this part better.
Right.
Yes, you are right. So thank you, Sharon. She made
Way to go, Sharon. You did an amazing job. Way to go. Yeah, no, definitely. Because I think what people mistake all the time, and like I said, I'm not even the baker, and I've slowly understood this over time. Certain ways that you fold it, you knead it, you do these things, it adds texture, which while you're baking, it can crisp it a lot. It can crisp it a little. It can make it fluffy. It can make it more airy. It can allow things to seep in, not seep in. Yep. It's a process. It's scientific. It's a process. So if somebody tells you like, no, you fold in the sides like upwards of 10 to 13 times, do it. You do it. That's what you do. You got to have it like that. And so having those diagrams and everything helps people like me. That's for sure. And then people like my wife, they're like, this is what makes sense. Like, this is how you make it. And so, yeah, it is brilliant. So the release date of your cookbook, it is, you said it was September 27th, right?
Yes.
Go pre-order right? Everybody needs to go and pre-order.
Please.
Beautiful book, by the way. I've got a little like cabinet thing way, it's in my hallway, and I've got all these cookbooks. And I'm not kidding when I tell you that this one with the designs and everything reminds me of like tiling, like the Greek tiling and those kinds of things. But it's Ukrainian. It's specific Ukrainian. It is gorgeous. It is beautiful. And then the exclamatory Budno.
Because it's a celebration.
It is. It is a celebration. It needs the emphasis. It needs that because it is great. It is wonderful. Is there anything else about the cookbook that you feel is like, this is the thing to know? Here's the little like secret on top. What do you think?
It is about cookbook, but it's a little bit, it's a detail. My publisher, I just want to thank my publisher Rizzoli, because when the war started, they reached out to me and they said, we want to help Ukraine. And let's do something. And 10% from all the cookbook pre-orders, they donated to World Central Kitchen. How about that? I'm so lucky.
Way to go, Rizzoli.
This is amazing. And yeah. I'm so grateful for them. And another fun fact, the beautiful design you mentioned, like
yes.
The tile, it is actually a Ukrainian scarf. It's not a tablecloth. Yeah, I brought it from my last visit to Lviv, and it is it's so near and dear to my heart. And when I saw it in my closet, I'm like, this is it. I need this on the cover. I need to convince everybody that this is it, because I wanted this hot pink color because it associates with the modern Ukraine. Because traditionally we have this black and red pattern. But then I thought maybe dark blue and like navy and hot pink is like somewhere in that contrast family. Yeah. But it feels modern, and but at the same time with the pattern, it's still traditional. So I wanted to show this is a traditional cookbook with a modern twist, and you will find a lot of modern variations of the old recipes and a lot of my own touches, and definitely some Californian flavors, because I use local produce and I wanted to merge this my new life here with my home country. And hopefully by like these little details you will feel it.
Yes, I know I felt it reading through it. I can't wait to get the book. That's for sure. I was reading through it and all I can say is that it's great. It is so amazing. And it's one of those things that, like you mentioned, the incorporation of where you are now, especially being in California, where people associate everything with like super fresh veggies, fruits, and avocados, and you got wine country and all this stuff. It's like, to me, when I was reading through it, all I could think was, okay, Anna, the Ukrainian gal, could fit in really well in the Willamette Valley, because it's the same thing. We've got a lot of that. And then I was like reading, and you said you were in the Bay Area, and I'm like, yeah, that's just as good. That's like, that's a perfect spot as well. Like, dang, like that is, I mean, and that's the thing is, I think what makes great cookbooks here anyways are when, you know, old timey cookbooks where it was like Americana kind of, you know, the nostalgia factor. Right. Mm-hmm. But I think today the main thing that at least I am hunting for is that blend of we're going to give you as straightforward our cuisine as we can, and you're going to be able to have it in the way that you can find it. And that, man, that's a 1-2 punch that makes me happy beyond belief. And so, plus the book is beautiful. So it's like, perfect. This is perfect. And you mentioned that scarf.
You made my day. Oh my God. So many compliments.
Yes.
You're spoiling me here.
You spoiled us with this book. And I say spoiled because I can tell it took a lot of work. It took a lot of hard work. I will say the scarf. Okay. My second anniversary happened not too long ago. The tradition is cotton. Are those scarves made of cotton or is it a different blend?
I think it's a blend of cotton and wool.
See, I gotta find that scarf then. I gotta find it. I got, because like I said, I like I said, my second anniversary, it was not too long ago, and I my wife, she loves scarves. That's like kind of one of those nice little touches, right? There's earrings, there's scarves, there's nice little bracelets, there's things like that that are an accent piece. And definitely I can see with the navy blue and the pink, that is an accent
Oh, go
piece.
on Etsy, and there are a lot of good Ukrainian sellers that can sell, like they can send it from Ukraine, and you will support
See?
Ukraine. A lot of those
Yes.
people donate to support our people in Ukraine. So find a good seller. They will ship you your beautiful scarf. My husband today got ordered his wonderful traditional short. We call it vyshivanka, which is embroidered short, because I have two and he has zero. Because he had one before, but it's not good anymore. It's just old. And like, no, we need something prettier, something fancier. And now he ordered his new short, and it's coming from Ukraine.
And that's, it's like you were saying, anytime you can find the thing to help out a cause that you believe in, and especially if it can be through the Ukraine, do it. Do it.
And it doesn't cost you anything because you want it anyway.
Right.
So yeah,
Exactly.
just need, yeah.
You're going for it anyways. Just order it, get it shipped to you. If you got to pay the extra shipping, do it. That's what you should do, because it's an individual seller. That's the big thing
Now
as well.
everyone includes everything with the whole
With the
price. It's like
price. Yeah.
everybody loves free shipping. So people
Right.
got
Yeah.
that idea.
They added it in. They're like, we're just gonna get
Yeah.
this. We're good with
Yeah.
this. But yeah, no, that is the big thing, is definitely going out and supporting all the causes. Like I said, I hope victory for Ukraine. Anna, thank you
Thank
for
you.
coming on here to Culinary Convo's Cookbook Corner with Budenmo. And
Ah,
everybody,
thank
go
you.
out, pre-order it. It's wherever you can find your books, it's there. And September 27th, be ready to just like, not beyond speed run. You're gonna like inhale this book, because I know I did. Okay. And it's coming. You're gonna get sear. You're gonna do these things, and we're gonna make it a US thing. That way we can back
Oh.
and do everything independent for the Ukraine, right? We're gonna get it.
Yes.
We're gonna get it.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for the amazing compliments. I feel on top of the world, and now I can go and celebrate our Independence Day.
Independence Day.
Yes, and say Budmo for Ukraine.
Yes, say Budmo for Ukraine. And definitely everybody go out, pre-order the book, listen to Culinary Convo, look for everything through Etsy, right? Whether it's scarves like I'm about to do, or whether it's for other goods, plates, anything that is designer, right? You go for that. You can type it in. I know me recently, I saw on Spice House, it's a company that does spices, herbs, what have you. They had a Ukrainian village pepper blend, and I got one of those.
Wow. Okay. Now I added it to my list.
See?
So
Yeah.
thank
Go
you.
to Spice House. And I don't know if it's authentic or not. I have no idea. But I saw
I will let you
Ukrainian.
know.
Yeah, exactly. You can tell me, because I was looking at it, and I'm not kidding. Hash, I add it. Hash browns, I add it. I'm telling anything. When I've okay, another thing, Korean food, I do that every now and again. What's it? Tteokbokki. It's these rice cakes, right? They're really big rice cakes. Throw that in that sauce. It's basically like salt, I believe garlic, and then literally the trio like pepper blend where it's dried. Ukrainian village spice. Get it. Get scarves. Go out and get Budmo though. That's like the biggest thing. Pre-order it. Everybody's gonna love that book. Thank you, Anna, for coming on.
Oh,
I
thank you so
appreciate it.
much. I will come back anytime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We will see everybody next time on Cookbook Corner. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Rehm, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.